This is a very relevant question because we see, for instance, even in the Mahabharata and generally throughout the Vedic literature, that one who is born in a certain family is generally considered or generally is in the same varna. Varna is a better word than caste, actually. Caste gives the idea of rigidity, but varna means it should be understood to be not rigid. So it's generally by birth, and a common example of that is Karna, who, although he was actually Kshatriya by nature, was rejected for being the son of a, he was known as the son of a Shudra, chariot driver. So there are many such examples. Even Krishna was accused by Shishupal and others that, well, he started off as a cowherd boy, as a Vaishya, but then later on he came out as a Kshatriya. So he's of no fixed position, which is actually a praise of Krishna because he is of no fixed position in the material sense. But there are also many instances. For instance, Rishabhdev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was playing the role of a king, and among his sons, the Navayogendras, 9 sons, although he was playing the role of a Kshatriya, among his 100 sons, 9 of them were Brahmanas, and most of the rest were Kshatriyas. So generally one is born in a certain situation that is commensurate with the particular inclination that has developed in the previous life. So that's general. But that doesn't mean that is fixed. It may be that a devotee is born in a demon family, as we see in the case of Prahlad Maharaj. And it may be that a demon is born in a devotee family, as in the case, well, it may be born directly the son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as in the case of the son of Varahadev, with the earth, became a great demon. So it's not that everything, we can say generally it is by birth, but it's not fixed. And especially in Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhavaha, in Kali Yuga everyone is born as Shudra. So when did this become prominent, this misconception that Varnashram is by birth only? It's difficult to say exactly, but it's definitely very much prominent in Kali Yuga. And that was fortified or upheld by Shankaracharya, who was so influential in the Hindu world even today, even though many people have never heard of him, but his influence over the centuries has been immense. And not, as we understand from Lord Chaitanya's teachings, immense, but in some ways good and in some ways not good at all. And overall, his teachings of impersonalism are not at all helpful. Anyway, however it came in, we should establish the right thing. It may be very difficult to find out exactly how the bad thing has come in. Just like a disease, exactly how someone got a disease, that's not the most important thing to understand. The most important thing is to treat the disease. Yeah, any other? Oh yeah, you have question number 2.
Okay, it may be a little bit out of context, but you know,
Actually, I just heard on a lecture today, Srila Prabhupada chastising someone for asking a question that's not related to what Srila
Prabhupada. Okay, okay. Well,
so be careful.
Okay, okay. Okay. As a Hindu mythology goes, Rama and Krishna are considered
out of context.
I'm coming there. They are considered.
If you say Hindu mythology, I mean you should stop right there.
Okay.
Hindu, what is Hindu? There's no Hindu.
Well, I mean.
You mean the Vedas, the Quran?
Oh yeah, something.
Such word
Hindu. No, yeah, yeah, so yeah, Vedic. Okay.
And mythology is derived from the Sanskrit word mithya.
Okay. Okay.
Which means not having any actual basis in reality.
Okay.
But we accept Shastra as being the exposition of reality. So the term mythology is a very bad word.
Okay, okay, okay. So I'll take it back. Take that back. Anyway, Ram and Krishna.
You could say within the Vedic knowledge.
Oh, okay, within the Vedic knowledge,
yeah.
Ram and Krishna are considered as the incarnation of God. Is it correct?
They are stated, let me help you to state things in a better way.
Okay.
They are established as the Supreme Personality of God.
Okay. So since they are considered as an incarnation of God.
But
there are three, you know, Godhead. Considered like Shiva, Vishnu, and Brahma. But in ISKCON, I have never heard of these three deities, Shiva, Brahma, and Vishnu. Can you comment on those? Why, you know, they are never talked about?
No, within ISKCON, Shiva and Brahma are talked about, but they are understood according to their actual position. There is a common misconception that there are many gods and you can worship whichever one you like. And it's all the same. This is not the Vedic version. The Vedic version is Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original form of the personality of Godhead. That although different people on different levels, they may worship different demigods considering them to be supreme, but when one actually comes to the actual point of knowledge, then bahunam janmanamante jnanavang mang prapadyate. After many births, when one actually comes to the platform of knowledge, then one surrenders to Krishna. Understanding Vasudeva Saravamiti, that Vasudeva, Krishna, is all in all. Samahatma Sudurlaba. Many people think the wrong thing, but the actual point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the demigods are his servants, very few people understand this. So in the Krishna Conscious Movement, we are interested in truth, reality as it is, not social convention. According to social convention within Hinduism, there are many gods, and you can worship whichever one you like. According to Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, antavattu palangte sham tad bhavati alpamedasam, one who worships demigods, they get a limited and temporary result from doing so, and therefore such people are less intelligent because they do not understand Krishna's supreme position. Yeah, so someone else is going to ask something.
Hare Krishna. I'm Bimal. I'm from Nepal. My friend Sriji gave me almost 2 years back. And it's such a blessed day of ISKCON Hare Krishna thing. It's my pleasure, and I'm here today. What a day. and by birth I'm a Brahman. By birth I'm Brahman, but by act, I see a lot of Brahmins here. So the first lesson I learned, it's not a Brahman by birth, it's Brahman by act. So I see Brahman here, I see Brahmins here, I see everyone Brahmins. So in this modern world, it's not birth as a Brahman. My mother, being a Krishna fan, she used to worship Krishna from early morning and cry and just do bhajan in front of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So I feel like today I've been to Vrindavan, I touch Krishna, be myself. What a day. And just like one of our colleagues asked the question there, it's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
So now with Srila Prabhupada's blessings, you can study his books and become much more than a brahmana. You're very fortunate that your mother has such feeling for Krishna. So you can please adopt that also. And then, despite coming to America, you can actually be Vimal. Yeah. Vimal means without contamination. So coming to America is itself a contamination. But if you chant Hare Krishna, then you become Vimal, without contamination. Not just in name only. Yeah, so anything else? Yeah, okay. Then we'll finish and distribute prasad because everyone has to go to work tomorrow. It's practical consideration. We also have to get up and chant Hare Krishna.
Gurudev, you said that, well, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhishma is a Mahajan, and
I didn't say anything.
Well, I'm sorry, you didn't say. Yeah, I meant to say in the
not in this lecture.
I was correcting myself. Excuse me. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that Bhishma and Vidura, they're Mahabhagavatas, Mahajans, but one is considered like a Shudra. Duryodhana chastises him, and Bhishma, who acts as a Kshatriya, he's beyond every Brahmana. So why didn't they just become Brahmana sannyasis? Why did they still stay in their position and they were considered a Kshatriya or a son of a Shudra, and yet their words are in the Srimad Bhagavatam?
Well, that just exemplifies the point that a Vaishnava is more than a Brahmana by birth. The knowledge that Bhishma gave is topmost knowledge. The knowledge that Vidura gave, knowledge of Krishna, that is the topmost knowledge. So, someone may have the propensity of a Shudra. He may be a gardener in Krishna's garden. He may not be very learned in Shastra, but he may have the topmost realization of Shastra. If someone is working as a gardener in Krishna's garden and says that we have to grow these flowers very nicely by the grace of Krishna, nothing grows without the grace of Krishna, just so that we can offer them to Krishna, then that understanding is the topmost understanding. Or we see also that one may be most highly learned and able to glorify Krishna by the grace of Krishna, even without having rigid Brahminical training. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was superficially almost illiterate. Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he was highly learned and the son of a great Vaishnava. But he felt that his entrance into Vaishnava life was via the teachings and the realization that he gained from Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And even though Sarasvati Thakur was so learned, both materially and spiritually, he stated that all knowledge is to be found in one grain of dust from the lotus feet of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So these points should be considered. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.